your report to God.
Well, you've heard the term landscaping before. You've heard agricultural before. Pretty self-explanatory, but have you ever heard of agriscaping? The concept of merging the two, and we've got a special guest joining us on the phone to talk about this developed concept, agriscaping. Justin Rahner, welcome to the broadcast this Saturday morning.
Well, thanks, Romy. It's a beautiful morning to be gardening, that's for sure.
It is, and if somebody wants an extended, you know, you're going to get an education here listening over the next few minutes about what agriscaping is, but if you really wanted to extend that and you're just so motivated, you're teaching a class at 9.
Yeah, we are, actually, at the Queen Creek Botanical Gardens, and that's accessible if you wanted to sign up for it. It's the agriscaping.com/events, and we have a number of live and free events, webinars as well. It actually will be live streamed today. So if you can't make it out to the Queen Creek Botanical Gardens this morning at 9, you can join us live online. But yeah, it's just agriscaping.com/events, and you can sign up for those classes.
And talk about this concept of merging the two and how that applies to, you know, our individual properties.
Well, in this modern day and age, there's a lot more people trying to grow food at home. I mean, there was over a 47% increase over even last year for people trying to grow food at home. And growing food at home is a little more complicated. You know, we don't have the full sun spaces that everybody else has, or at least where all the data has come from. All of agriculture has hundreds and even thousands of years of ag data that's all based on full sun applications. But in our modern yards, we don't have these huge spaces with a lot of full sun. In reality, people are trying to grow trees to create shade. And so the optimal location to grow stuff isn't really in existence, or it's much smaller. And so there's this whole new avenue of microclimate technology that agriscaping's developed to help optimize what to grow in any square foot within your landscape. And what that basically allows us to do is to design a space that is beautiful. And so it's not just having to be farm rows and stuff like that. We can actually integrate the best of productive agriculture with the best of that ornamental landscaping so that even your HOA would love the look, the feel, and then you would also love the taste of your yard. So you can have your beautiful garden and eat it too. It's not picking one or the other. You don't have to hide the garden and throw it all in raised beds. We can actually be more optimized than that with modern technology integrated into the landscape and bringing all that food tech into the space as well. All that agricultural technology can be integrated into that design to make it really easy to manage too.
And you were talking about, you know, that direct sunlight and in our yards we have, you know, that's the first thing we try and do is shade everything and create that nice tree canopy. But you told me something yesterday I never thought I'd heard. You've got a microclimate that's actually producing cherries off a cherry tree.
That is correct. We've proven out 6 varieties of cherry trees here in the Phoenix market, and we had to create a specific microclimate to accommodate that. And we can also go the other direction. So using microclimates, we live right now in what's considered a USDA 9B. So we're kind of in a 9 to 9B USDA climate zone. And that has a specific limited number of things that we can really grow. A lot of citrus, like we talked about before. Beautiful citrus does wonderful here. But if you get your microclimate dialed in, you can actually extend and expand your options to up to 11 in terms of the USDA climate zone 11. So that's like doing a lot of tropical stuff, things that they're growing in Florida. So we're growing, you know, we can grow avocados and bananas and mangoes and peaches, you know, I mean, just a lot of that cool tropical stuff. And then we can go all the way to a 6, which is more like Oregon, where we can then grow cherry trees. And so it's all how you contour and how you design your landscape, how you basically set it up for success so that what you want can actually be grown in your yard. And that's another thing that obviously what agriscaping's done to help make it possible to extend your seasons and really grow year round and have a more variety of things that you can grow in your own landscape.
And you mentioned avocado, which is really interesting to me because that's probably the number one tree we turn people away from planting when they when they're trying to do their own yard. Well, can I get an avocado? Can I get an avocado? We haven't had great success, and I know Dave Wilson Nursery, the big tree grower, has been trying to graft a lower a variety that would do better in the desert. But I don't know, microclimate was part of that equation.
Yeah, and my and the microclimate for a to get it to really work and to get the varieties that already exist. So I love that Dave Wilson's working on grafting some, trying to get something that's going to work here even better. But with the varieties that already exist, one of my favorites that's been most productive is the Brogdon variety. But even the Brogdon or the Joey or the Aravaipa, which is a very popular one among the rare fruit growers here in Arizona, those things can work, but you really got to make sure the soil's dialed in, the microclimate's dialed in, and that you've got an ambient humidity. So a lot of times it's water features that we work with clients on. We create a water feature. So again, we're making a beautiful little landscape feature. We got this thing, but it creates the ambient humidity so that when they flower, they actually can set the fruit. Because if the surrounding air around an avocado isn't moist enough, that's not going to set fruit. It's not going to hold the fruit. And it's just going to dry, crack, and the fruit's going to fall off if it even forms at all. And so there's a lot of those conditions that need to be taken into consideration for especially an avocado. So I would say on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of difficulty in the Arizona climate, growing an avocado is around an 8 or 9. And so you really got to make sure you got your soil dialed in, you got your microclimate dialed in, and you got that ambient humidity component available for that plant in order for it to be successful. And again, you can design that all in so it's beautiful. It's not like you just have to have these funny looking misters sitting outside, you know, in your landscape with 4 feet of mulch and trying to get this one avocado to grow. You don't have to spend all that time doing that. You can design it so it looks beautiful.
That could be an expensive avocado.
Yeah, it's like, well, and we joke about that, you know. If you get it right, you've got a cost-effective avocado. You got cost-effective tomatoes. But if you do it wrong, you end up with a $24 avocado, and on average. And so that's expensive, you know, and cool to talk with friends about, but maybe not the best way to offset your living expenses.
And microclimates take time to create, so it might not be that that's the first thing you plant. You plant the other things that are going to create the microclimate, but it takes a couple years for them to grow into maturity, for them the soil amendments to get just right, and you know that's a stage 2 or 3 build out.
Correct.
Getting there.
And so designing it is really important, and that's what the class over at the Queen Creek Botanical Gardens is all about. It's about that designing process, because with an avocado specifically. Yeah, you're exactly right. You got to design the space around it. You really got to grow the soil first before you consider the avocado. And then because the avocado loves to be in almost full shade to start out here. But then as it matures, in order for it to really produce, it needs to be in full sun at the top. So it's full shade at the bottom and then full sun at the top. So how do you create that? And so it is a because it's a canopy type tree. It's one that loves to start off in the shade in this, you know, a jungle type environment, and then it peaks through the top of the sub canopy, and then it creates its own canopy up above that. And that's where they're most successful. And if you go to California and find the massive ones growing over houses, it's they started in that exact way that I'm describing. They started off in the shade, but then grew themselves above the house. Obviously they have tons of ambient humidity, you know, really good draining soil. And then it grows out over the top of that. So in order to create that same situation, you have to design it and be very deliberate and give yourself kind of a 3-year game plan to make an avocado really successful. I mean, there's been thousands of avocado trees sold in Arizona. I know of 8 that are very productive. So just to give you an idea. And these are very productive. I mean, literally hundreds of pounds of avocados growing off of one tree. And so it can be done, but it is a very designed and deliberate process that you need to have a 3-year commitment to.
Okay, can you grow it from a seed? Like if you've got an avocado at a store, instead of throwing away the pit, can you plant it and give it a shot?
You can certainly give it a shot. The question's going to be, what are you going to end up with? And that's the crapshoot. That's the gamble right there. You know, we don't know what you're going to end up with or if you're going to get fruit at all. And so that's the biggest challenge. Most of what we find success with is grafted varieties from trusted sources. And that's where we know we can count on a success and the type and variety that you're probably looking for. So that's kind of how we go. And the other thing is knowing if it's an A or a B type, because there are some cross-pollinating that are required with certain varieties. Some are self-pollinating, some are not.
Now, that's one spectrum on the tropical side. I want to go back, and the key there was the microclimate and the additional of moisture to the air for setting the fruit. Well, talk about how you got the cherry tree and one of the tricks you can use with water in a different type of form to enhance your chill hours. I wasn't sure at first when we were talking about if you were pulling my leg.
Well, what we had talked about was basically you can use ice. You can literally, over the winter months, it's like if you need to increase your chill hours, you can literally just have a party. You know, if you got some beers or drinks and stuff, just pour all the ice water out on the root base. So all around where the roots are for that tree can help increase the amount of chill hours experienced by the tree, thereby increasing that requirement in order to help them set fruit. And that's one way to do it.
And you can't see it, Justin, but John Eisenhower sitting here bobbing his head up and down. Yes, like you. Hang on. Oh, you were about the beer party?
He was wondering when the beer party is. Is that what he was wondering?
Yeah, yeah. Me in too.
that's good. I love that. Yeah, chill those roots and trick the tree into thinking that it's really cold out. That's great.
Exactly. And all you need is sub 45 degrees. That's considered a chill hour. So for every hour that you got ice on that's a sub 45 degree hour. And so if you're keeping track on where your chill hours are, any hour below 45 degrees in your area, then you can basically just add on the extra that you might need with some hours with some ice.
Yeah, and if you're running short, you just throw another party, right?
Yeah, just throw another party, and that's the way to do it. And that's the community approach. That's kind of what agriculture is about.
Absolutely, it's all about the community.
Then instead of bringing your own beer, it's bring your own beer and ice.
Yeah, there you go. Bring your own ice.
That way your friends are bringing half the ice load.
Yeah, there you go. And now the ice looks going to be in. You know, people are going to have their yards with their ice piles, you know, in their front yard, right?
So these are all techniques to this concept of agriscaping, merging agriculture and landscaping into your home to grow more than just, you know, your traditional row vegetable garden or a couple of fruit trees. And Justin, one more time, mention how somebody could join the class. And then after the break, let's talk about the Queen Creek Botanical Gardens, because that's a really amazing story. And if somebody hasn't been out there yet, just what a treasure that's become.
You bet. So the easiest way to find the class is agriscaping.com/events. So agriscaping.com/events. agriscaping.com/events.
And today's event is free. You can watch it on the live stream on a computer by going there, or if you can get to or you're in Queen Creek, you know, the class starts here in about 15 minutes at the Queen Creek Botanical Gardens, and we'll talk about those gardens right after this.